going to do something a little bit different here this evening. I'm not sure I've ever really done this like this. I'm going to give you a few things to think about here in this passage. And then, Lord willing, we will have some time that if you would like to share a blessing, a testimony, a praise, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now, you can't give us the long version, or no one else is going to be able to get in. But you can give us a short version. Tell us what happened, something that went on that was a blessing. Maybe it's been something earlier this year. Something's going on. And by the time we get through here, it might be something that's happened a while back. It might be something that's happened just today. But we'll give you a little opportunity to kind of share your heart a little bit. Not going to make a big to-do about it. Just stand up where you are, whatever. If you want to. If you don't want, we won't. You know, we'll stop. I don't know how long I'll preach here, but Lord willing, won't be long. I know you've heard that before. But I'm trying to give you a chance tonight. So here we go. Let me read Psalm 30, if you will. I'm going to read all 12 verses real quick. I'm not going to go real in depth, but you'll see some things here. Psalm 30, verse 1 says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now look at this here in verse 6, though. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. The answer. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let's pray, and we'll just think on this for a little bit. O ye saints, give thanks. O ye saints, give thanks. Father, thank you for a moment we can have here this evening just to kind of think how sweet and how great and how loving and caring and merciful and faithful you are. And Lord, we may even in our reminiscing give praise to what you've done and yet lament for what sometimes how we've turned our back when the blessings come and we get kind of fat and satisfied. Lord, how you'll take us back. Thank you so much for your love and again for your mercy. Amazing grace that you extend toward us. Lord, help us just to kind of have a sweet time. Help us to see you a little better here this evening. And that you'll use this time to lift one another up. That our glory will sing praise to you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Number one, I want you to see an appreciation of the Lord. The first part there, he has an appreciation for the Lord. And you know, we do too. You know, I understand that. It's kind of, I am in the good position that I am because of the Lord. I am where I am because of the Lord. That's what Paul said. We talked about this on Sunday, you know, except for his mercy, we have nothing. So the fact is, we realize how much he has extended his mercy. We can be thankful for everything we have. Psalm 30, verse 1 says, I will extol thee. He says, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to make you prominent, Lord. I'm going to promote you. It gives you the idea that you're going to take the Lord and put him on your shoulders and kind of walk down through town and say, he's my hero. That's the kind of the idea. This is the one I want everybody to see. not me. I'm down here in the crowd. But I will lift him up above everybody else, where everybody see who my Lord is. Why is that? He says, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. But wait a minute. We're lifting him up above us. Where did he lift us up? That word lift me up means to draw us up from. He pulled me up out of that miry clay, out of that pit, and set my feet on a firm foundation, on a solid rock. That's what he did. I was way down in the bottom. I was in the muck, in the mire, in the mud. I was headed for the pit, and he pulled me out. In fact, I was as good as in the pit. And he says, thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Not only did he pull me out of the pit, put me on a solid rock, he's put a little hedge of protection around me. Remember old Satan gave the Lord kind of accused him of why Job would serve him. So you put a hedge of protection around him. Yeah. And aren't you glad he did? But when the protection came down, Job was faithful still. He realized in whom his salvation is. He knew that his Redeemer liveth. He said, God didn't allow my enemies to get the upper hand on me. Letter B, God has been faithful. God has been faithful to meet my needs over the years. He brought me up out of the miry clay, and he's appreciating what the Lord has done. He says, God has cared for me over the years. Verse 2 says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. That word cried unto thee means to yell for freedom. And basically said, I'm stuck. I'm caught in something. I don't know. There's no way out. It could be the idea of the fact that we're headed for hell and we're down in the pit. That's fine. But there's other times in our lives where you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's no place to move. No matter what you do, it's the wrong thing. You know, that's what they say when you drink a big swallow of hot coffee, boiling hot coffee. Whatever you do next is wrong. If you swallow, it's wrong. Spit it out, you're wrong. That's not right. You can't. And sometimes you feel like that in life. But he says he said, I cried for freedom, and you healed me. You cured me. You made me whole. You mended me. God has walked. Listen, my guess is a lot of folks who give testimony, there's sometimes you think, well, you get to a place, well, I'll never be out of this. Well, this is it. It's all over. And then somehow he kind of brings us back up out of that. He's saying, number two, and he says, I don't know whether I have that for you or not. Here. No, you don't have that. Anyway, I was as good as in hell, but God has lifted my feet out of hell. Look at verse 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. That word pit there means the cistern, the bottom of the well. But, of course, you know, a dungeon, a prison back then, they would dig a hole and throw you in it. He said, there was a hole carved out for me as a trap or a prison. It says, you've brought me out of there. You've kept me alive. God saves and he preserves. God saves us and keeps us so that we never need to fear, for instance, the possibility of hell. He brings you out of that. That's done. But even when we walk with him, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let her see, God is good and faithful to forgive us. See, he's being faithful to us, but the fact is, we're not always faithful to him. But yet he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're just as if we never sinned. Verse 4 said, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That word sing there means to celebrate with song. Let her go. Let her go. I don't know about, well, sometimes, you know, it's possible just to get a song in your heart. And I know some folks who can't sing get a song in their heart. But that's okay. Lord likes that too. He says, make a joyful noise. That's what he wants is your heart. Now, on our side, we kind of like it sound good. But God likes the heart. You know, it's kind of like when, if you in the Old Testament, it says when they offered up the offerings, the burnt offerings, it was called a sweet savor. So what stinks? No, it smells good to God. It says, your heart's with me. You're willing to sacrifice to have me. It's a sweet savor. It smells good to me. Years ago, when I was little, and my dad and his bunch would have their antique car club Christmas dinner up here. I think we did it in Dover Fire Hall a couple times. I'm pretty sure we have, because I remember that old place and the stage in there and everything. I'm sure that's where we were. I think we were a couple times over here towards Spring Grove and Nashville Fire Hall there. I think we did it there a couple times or someplace here. Anyway, we'd come up here and do those dinners. But the fact is, it would always be cold. It was all around Christmas time, and I was just a little kid, and it was always cold, and we always had to come through Spring Grove. Now, we didn't smell Spring Grove a whole lot, unless in the spring once in a while it'd get foggy and the wind would blow that direction. We could smell it down our way. It was, you know, an hour away, but of course they cleaned it up a good bit, but you could smell Spring Grove. But you know what? That smelled good to me. That, because we were going to this Christmas party, and I was going to get a gift, a box of candy, and an orange. And that's what we were going to get every year. I knew I was going to get this. So it was okay, because I knew what that smell meant. On the other side of that smell was Christmas. And the thing is, the things of God, our singing, He wants our heart. He wants our heart. He says, sing unto the Lord, celebrate in song, O ye saints, the pious recipients of God's grace. That's who a saint is, somebody who's saved by grace. Now, we don't always live like saints. We don't act like saints, behave like saints, but we're saints. We're recipients of God's grace. And so you are a recipient of God's grace. You ought to be able to let it out a little bit. You ought to sing in celebration. And sometimes, you know, you ever hear... the old saying, you know, some of those old cop movies, they said they got the guy back there and they put the lights on him and they drilled him and he sang like a bird. You know what I'm saying? He told his whole story. We ought to sing like a bird. You got a testimony, you ought to let it out till everybody is so sick and tired of hearing it. Find somebody, tell them what the Lord has done. Well, here it is. Oh, you saints of, oh, you pious recipients of God's grace, sing unto the Lord, and watch, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, of who He is, His perfectness, and yet His love and His mercy and His grace, and the fact that He has set Himself apart for us. We have a hard time setting ourselves apart, giving ourselves a living sacrifice to Him. But He set Himself apart to us, that He bore the cross. Before the foundation of the world, He made a decision, I'm for them. I'm going to do this. He set Himself apart. Now watch, here's some things we need to remember. Verse 5, for His anger endureth but a moment. And that word moment means the wink of an eye. The twinkling of an eye in a moment. He forgives. Do you realize that we don't have to beg and beg and beg and beg and beg for God to forgive us? You know what we need to do? Simply come with a contrite heart. Now, we have to beg and beg and beg and beg until our heart is contrite, then that's okay. But it wasn't the begging part. It was the broken part. Then accept the forgiveness. He says, I'll forgive you. You know, sometimes we don't want to accept the forgiveness because we really don't want to admit that we need forgiving. Well, I knew it probably wasn't quite right, but, you know, it really wasn't that bad. Well, not compared to other people, but compare yourself to God. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. His holiness. Oh, well, then I'm kind of glad. You know, we're all going to have Thanksgiving tomorrow, somebody's going to spill their water glass or something. They're going to, you know, if we wore ties, probably drop some gravy on it, you know. Dr. Smith keeps his ties in the refrigerator so they don't spoil. And, you know, I don't wear a tie to a Thanksgiving dinner, you know. Yes, there's times when I don't wear a tie. But it's a terrible thing to spill something there around the family. But suppose you were going to have a Thanksgiving dinner at the president's house or something, you know, or some big highfalutin place and where everybody's dressed up and then you spill. Oh, my soul. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, we compare ourselves to one another. Sin's no big deal. We compare ourselves to God. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. But yet his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor, in his good pleasure, is life. That's what he wants. He doesn't want death. He wants life. Weeping, sobbing may endure for a night, but joy, shouts of joy cometh in the morning. When soon the dawn, listen, when dawn comes up, his mercies are new every morning. He forgives us. So we see the appreciation of the Lord. Number two, we're going to see the depreciation. Depreciation of the Lord. Letter A, I walked away from the Lord for a while because I thought I had everything under control. Look at verse 6. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Well, where did the prosperity come from? The Lord. I shouldn't use this, but there's an old saying, dance with the one that brought you. Well, they would say, dance with the one that brung you. The Lord got you this far. Don't leave him when things are good. Stick right there with him. Well, I know sometimes you got to go through hard times to learn. You don't have to. I'm serious. You don't have to. Verse 6 says, and in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. In my sense of success, that word also has the idea of security. You know, I'm okay. I've got money in the bank. My health is good. My family's well. Everything's good. Let's just skip church this Sunday and go to the camp. Or let's go here. Let's go there. Let's, you know, I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I don't need to go to RU anymore. I'm doing just fine. Why don't you just stick with what got you there? If it got you there, stick with it. You keep your eyes and your nose there pointed toward the Lord. He says, in my sense of security, I said, I shall never be moved. I shall never slip. I'll never fall again. Wrong. He says, I became self-assured. Self-reliant. There's your word. Self-assured. Self-reliant. And if I don't think I need God, I will most likely stop seeking God. And I will soon have wandered away from God. Because when you stop seeking God, your eyes get on something else. And before long, we're like a bunch of little kids standing at the cereal counter trying to figure out which one's the cereal shelf, trying to see which one has the best prize in it. It was the Lord that had made a mountain out of me, he says. And he did so simply because he wanted in order to show his favor toward me. He simply did. Look at verse 7. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. What he's saying is, how I got here was the Lord. But when I thought I didn't need him anymore, he hid his face. Where'd he go? I remember, again, several times standing in the cereal aisle at the store as a little kid with mom looking in there, seeing which one had the race car in, which one had the submarine with the you put the baking soda in, and it'll come out, it'll float, you know, in the bathtub, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And she's busy doing her thing, and she went on around the aisle. All of a sudden, I look around. She's nowhere to be seen. I had my eyes on, so I should have my eyes on her. She was leading me, but I got my eyes on something. All of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute, he hid. Oh. Wait a minute. We should have just kept our eyes on him. But then to remind me of how I got where I am, God hid his face and I felt all alone. I saw that I was not as big a deal as I thought I was. And I became scared. The word trouble there means tremble my heart, to tremble. My heart began, here's the word, palpitate. P-A-L-P-I-T-A-T-E. All of a sudden, your heart started to race. What am I going to do? Panic attack. Why? Because we thought we could handle it on ourselves. And then we realized we were by ourselves and we can't handle it by ourselves. Amen. Number three, repentance to the Lord. Appreciation of the Lord, then we depreciated him. He wasn't as important as we thought he was. So we come back to the Lord. Verse 8 says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. That word cry there means a call out to accost. I mean, to grab a hold of him. Lord, 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 Lord. You know, it's like, you ever see a little kid that come up, Mommy, you were lost. Don't do that anymore, Mommy. You ran away from me. What? Why did you do that? He accosted him. He says, I remembered how much I need the Lord, and I made supplication. The word supplication means to bow down. Here's the word, to stoop. To beg for favor. To seek mercy. Now, wait a minute. God stooped to get down in the pit to pull us up. We shouldn't be too proud to stoop and bow down to him. He said, I realize who I was and who God is. Letter B, I told God that I was better than nothing. Now watch me. This is his plea. Look at this. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He says, you know, I'm not good, any good to you dead. Don't let me die. I'm no good dead. Would you spare me and I will make sure others know your Lord? Letter C, I've been humbled and I seek the face of God. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. He says, I'm asking you to bend, to stoop, to exercise unmerited favor. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper, my protector, my aid. Don't leave me. I need you. We appreciate the Lord and God bless us. This is so true. And then all of a sudden, we're pretty good, and we depreciate God. And then we find out that we're not all that in a bag of chips, and we've got to come back to him. Number four, a reassessment of the Lord. All right, let's go back here, and maybe we should do this right this time. Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. The word mourning, lamentation, my wailing. And that word in the dance, it kind of gives the idea of uncontrollable jubilation. I've seen kids do this at the grocery store. They get lost, then they find mom, and then they kind of hang on to her. And you kind of, you know, just kind of dance because there she is, where everything's okay because here we are, you know, and just can't stand still. That's what he's talking about. He turned my wailing. Mommy! Oh, there you are. Okay. We do that to God. We do our own thing because we think we got it all cared for, and we lose him. And then we feel great when we find him. Now, wait a minute here. Look what it says. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, my sad rags. And girded me with gladness, my glad rags. You ever hear about use that term, glad rags? Maybe that's a Carroll County term. When you get all dressed up and you're ready to go out on the town and paint it red, you know, you say, I'm going to put on my glad rags. This is my party clothes, I guess you want to say it, but my glad rags. Verse 12, it says, to the end, he says, watch, this is what you did. With the purpose of this, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. So why did you bring me up? So that my glory, for this purpose, that my countenance, my actions, the representation of my being, with the purpose of these things, that they may sing praise, celebrate to thee. Listen, our lives should be, you know the old saying, actions speak louder than words. You know, you walk talks and you talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. That's what it's saying here. It needs to come to the point where my life is like a concert saying, the Lord's the greatest thing in all the world. I don't want to be silent. He said, you know why? He said, watch this. Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, I did the appreciation, then the depreciation thing to get myself in trouble, so I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to be thankful for whatever you've given me, whatever I've got, it's all of you. And I'm going to do that for the rest of the time. Forever. Forever. My life should sing his praises. Watch, even when I am unfaithful, God is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let me just use it in this context. God is faithful. That's who he is. We praise him for his holiness. You can count on him doing what God does. I had nothing. God made me something. Then I thought I was something and needed nothing. But then I came to nothing. And I saw I was nothing. And God took my nothing and made it something. I want to give you an opportunity here this evening. I know we haven't probably ever done this quite like this, but we've got a few minutes here. Just give me a word of praise. I don't know what it might be, but just a thought of something that the Lord's done for you. I know we don't usually do that around here, but I want to give you a chance. I don't know, I just felt like it was time to do that. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.